Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, one thing we did not hear yet. Well, first of all, I want to wish you happy birthday yesterday, but I also want to tell you the one thing we did not hear yesterday was the word that someone screamed, "Goal for the USA."
Well, I want to welcome the listeners to this Friday edition, and we did not, and Joe, just for the soccer World Cup fans, you know, I think there's three kinds of fans in soccer. Ones that love soccer, especially there's a generation coming up in the United States. Then there's the World Cup soccer fans. They only were interested because they could have a party at a bar or somebody's house or out in the park, drink beer, scream and yell, act silly, flash somebody, whatever it might be. And then there's the third group, like myself, who said, I'm going to take this opportunity to try to learn something about the World Cup and soccer in general. And I got to tell you, to see the United States lose and then come back and lose again and still advance, it's pretty confusing to me, Joe. Don't score a goal. Score enough goals. You spend 98% of the time watching that soccer match, and you might get lucky and see a goal. You might. But having said that, to the soccer fans, Joe, I did learn a little bit more about soccer. It was a little bit more enjoyable. It does make me want to watch again. But I can promise you, as soon as the United States is out of it, and I'm sure they will be quickly, I will not be watching World Cup soccer or probably any soccer for a while.
I didn't really watch a whole lot of it last night, but I'm looking. I've got a text here coming in from Don, our indie correspondent Don Schultheis, about the soccer match. Kind of want to read it. USA won, tie, and lost. Didn't lose twice. Oh, he's correcting you, Coach. They did not lose twice, he says.
You know what, Joe? A tie to me is a loss. I mean, I don't get this tie business. So Don and all the soccer fans out there, thanks for correcting me. But to me, a tie is a loss, and that's the other part about soccer I'm not sure about. I know football, you stand up in sudden death, or before that you could actually tie, and they got smart and said you can't have ties. Somebody's got to win, and somebody's got to lose. And otherwise, Joe, it was my birthday, and I appreciate the hundreds of birthday greetings I got. I certainly do. I wish they would have been hundreds of presents, Joe. And I certainly got a greeting from you and your lovely wife, but I did not get a present from you, Joe. Was FedEx late, UPS behind? What happened?
Well, I'll get on UPS right now and track it. We paid for next day because it was a little late sending it out, and I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to it.
Hey, we know that we want to congratulate the new Southridge head basketball coach, the person that I absolutely believed was going to get it. I mentioned on the show last week, I didn't say the name because I knew there was one more interview going on. I said to the people in Southridge in the local area that, as far as high school basketball is concerned, that it would be a last name that people were familiar with. And Ted O'Brien played at Heritage Hills, South Spencer head basketball coach, assistant at Gibson Southern before that. He is now the new head basketball coach at Southridge, and he is the nephew of your wife and yourself through marriage, and we want to wish him great success. And the reason I said that it was a name people in the South Rutile and Huntingburg communities will be familiar with, the great high school player Danny O'Brien, who played for the Raiders in the 70s. So it's a familiar name, and we wish Ted all the luck in the world, Joe.
Yeah, he's excited, and we're as a family we're excited for him. It's a great job, and you know it will be for him every game but one. You know, the Jasper game.
I don't know. I think you will secretly be rooting for Ted O'Brien to win. Maybe not for Southridge to win, but you will secretly be rooting for Ted O'Brien to win that Jasper game. But we do wish him luck. Congratulations, Ted. That opens up the South Spencer job. We'll see what happens on that. Also, Joe, on the show today, we've got Tom Dienert coming up, Ken Network. We'll be talking with him about Big Ten football schedules, Big Ten basketball players who were drafted last night in the NBA. And if you did not see the draft, there were not major surprises, but there were some Big Ten players that dropped in the draft and some that jumped up in the draft. And quite a number of Big Ten players went in the top 20 or 21, and that's pretty exciting. So we'll talk with Tom Dienert about that. We love when Tom Dienert from the Big Ten Network is on the show. We'll also have former Southridge baseball player, Major League Baseball player, Mitch Stetter on the show. Joe will be talking with him. We'll catch up with Mitch Stetter and find out what's going on with him. Of course, the British the British Open tennis going on right now, Joe? Is that what's going on in the tennis? No, Wimbledon. I said British Open. Wimbledon is going on right now in tennis. There's always sports going on, folks. And I ran into about six Cub fans, Joe. They were all over me that I haven't given the Cubs any love on the show because, as they pointed out to me at the time, during the month of June, the Cubs had the best – listen, folks, shocking as it may sound, the Cubs had the best record in Major League Baseball. And with that, Joe, with them having the best record in Major League Baseball, the Chicago Cubs are still, folks and Cub fans alike, listen, 2-44. You are 14 games back in the Central Division, and yet you get on me about not giving the Cubs some love. I'll give you a little love today. I'll give you a shout-out, but you're still, at least according to the newspaper I'm looking at, in last place in the Central Division. We've got Tom Dienert coming up on the show. We're going to take a very quick break. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We'll talk to you in about 60 seconds.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Dienert of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Happy birthday.
Okay, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I have to admit, Don Schulteis and I talked about this yesterday. We kind of thought, you know, let's do a different kind of show. Tom Dienhart's not going to be here. Neither is Mitch Stetter. It was your 52nd birthday yesterday, and you know you always talk about how Coach K speaks the truth. Well, I've decided that I want to know the truth about Coach K, and I've lined up a number of guests that are going to come on today and are going to – they've got each got 15 minutes to say whatever they want about you, whatever stories they want about you. You can rebut them a little bit. I'm going to have my hand on the mute button. I might have to mute you from time to time, but everyone has 15 minutes. And our first guest, who's going to be on the clock right now, is Butler assistant coach, IU great, Jasper great, Michael Lewis. Michael, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, and it kind of scares me that coach is 52, because that just means I'm getting older. Right there with him. So,
hey now, Michael. Before we get started, you get a 2-minute warning, and this is it. This will be it. Okay.
It's a setup, Joe. You set
yes, it was.
How long ago? I mean, I'm 36, and I'm knocking on the door at 37. So, but happy birthday, Coach. 52 years old. Congrats.
Well, thank you, Michael.
The thing that's more impressive is that you have been able to have Janet hang around you for that many years. That's the more impressive thing.
You know what? Everybody says that. There must be something to it, Michael. Everybody says that.
Well, hey, I learned a lot of things from you, and I know you and Janet were high school sweethearts, and so I kind of followed your lead, and I found somebody that would put up with me, and I never let her go. So definitely picked up that from you.
I taught you some consistency when it came to relationships.
Now, Michael, you know, I'm sure you get into that bank of memories. I'm sure there's many, and you know, why don't you just start out with one of your stories? And this is the truth, Coach K, and, you know, you're talking about the truth.
You know, really, my first experience with Coach K was probably my freshman year. We were going we were in our preseason conditioning, and at that time we didn't have the facilities at the high school that they have now, and so we would have to we would jog from the high school down to a place called the Fitness Factory, and that's where we lifted our weights in our preseason conditioning, and then after weights we would jog back, and so we got tired of making that length of a run a few times, and at that time the school's kind of letting out, so there was probably 6 to 10 to 20 to 30 of us that started jumping in the backs of trucks and cars on St. Charles Street and getting a ride up that hill and halfway to the Fitness Factory before we continued on our jog. And let's just say we got caught one day. And so we get caught one day, and we got introduced to a hill on the backside of the high school there that we still call it Black Friday. And but it was great. Between Black Friday and then the discussion that the one-sided discussion that was in the locker room, let's just say it as a freshman, it opened my eyes for what was to come.
And Michael, I remember that well, and I know we went to the hill, we did wheelbarrows. We did piggyback rides. We did just about everything you could do going up and down that hill.
Well, I was a freshman in high school, I was 5'8", 135 pounds, and that's dripping wet. And we're doing piggyback rides on Black Friday up this hill, and I somehow managed to get one of the largest players on the varsity on my back. And I just, like, if I could just have somebody my own size, it wouldn't be nearly as bad, but I'm carrying somebody twice my size up that hill. It was quite the struggle.
I didn't put Matt Foose on your back, did I?
Hey, well, for one trip, but I couldn't make it, so then you moved down to Kurt Foose. But I had to try to take Big Matt Foo up that hill one time, and it just wasn't happening. Well, I wish we had video of that.
Well, you guys.
And
you guys
the best thing was is that was a convenient. That was one of Roland's convenient day outs of conditioning. I think he was transitioning between tennis and basketball, and he just happened to not be there that day, as what happened on most of those heavy conditioning days with Scott.
Oh man, that brings back some memories. But all in all, folks, Mike Lewis was a heck of a player and never missed a practice. That's true, Michael. I don't think you ever missed a practice.
Not by my choice. There was a few parts of practices that I missed by your choice. but I never missed them on my part. There was a few times that let's just say you politely asked me to leave, and I would go upstairs for a little while before you politely asked me to return. But I never did, and really throughout my career. And I was very lucky from an injury standpoint to never really have any injuries that kept me out of practices or games really throughout my career. So I was really lucky from that standpoint. But I never voluntarily skipped a practice of yours.
And now that you have had a couple digs in on me, tell me what's going on at Butler with your team for next year and your recruits that are coming in.
Well, we got our freshmen on campus, so our whole team is here now. They just started. We have two summer sessions here at Butler, and the second one just started on Monday, and those guys moved in at the end of last week. And so we have a full team. We're allowed to work out with them 2 hours a week from a basketball standpoint. So we do ours a little bit different than some. We do individual workouts. So, for instance, I kind of oversee, four guys, and so I'll work those four guys out three times a week at 40 minutes each to get to their 2 hours. And then on top of that, they'll lift three or four times a week with our strength and conditioning coach. They play open gym on their own, as well as attending classes. And we're also just finished up our third week of 4 weeks of basketball camp. So a couple of them are also involved in that and working our camp. So they've got a pretty busy summer, but it's great to have everybody on campus and kind of see the fresh faces and see some of the older guys kind of start taking on some leadership roles and helping those young bucks a little bit.
And you've got a couple of transfers that have come in, and I believe one of them's going to be eligible right away.
Yeah, Tyler Lewis came from NC State. He's a transfer. He actually has to sit a year, and then he'll have 2 years of eligibility. He was a McDonald's All-American in high school. Really excited about, what he brings to our program. And then Austin Etherington, as a lot of people know, transfer from Indiana. And it's the first time that we have really taken advantage of the graduate transfer rule. And he graduated from Indiana, and then he is transferring here to Butler, and he will actually have 2 years of eligibility because he redshirted a year due to an injury at IU. So he's still got 2 years of eligibility. Because he graduated, he can play right away, and so we're excited about adding somebody like Austin that can provide us with some depth, and he's played at the Big Ten level, so that the competition isn't going to overwhelm him. He's a bigger bodied guy. He's got some versatility on both ends of the floor. So we're excited about everybody that we've added. So we got five new faces, four of them that can play this year, and we're still searching if something good's out there.
And I know reading some quotes from Austin, he gives you get a lot of credit for at least contacting him, getting him online, and getting him looking towards Butler. So from your standpoint, the competition in the Big Ten, his skill level, those types of things, you just mentioned, you feel like he brings a lot to the Butler stable.
I think he fits. I think he fits in our locker room. He fills a need. He's a veteran player that's played in big games. He's obviously been in some high profile atmospheres. It's not like our freshmen that are coming in that this is going to be completely new to them. Austin's dad played here at Butler, so obviously there was a connection there. But we just feel like he can add some stability and add some depth to our team. Last year, first year being in the Big East, we played seven guys at the most, and our guys were playing way too many minutes, and I think we wore down towards the end of the year. So what we've tried to do through a recruiting process is not only add Big East level players, but be able to add some depth and some guys that can go in and play some quality minutes for us.
Well, Michael, I know that Butler is going through a lot of growth and expansion, and when it comes to Hinkle Fieldhouse, plans for major renovations and things like that. How's that going as far as the Fieldhouse, and is it moving forward, or are they still in the planning stages? What's going on?
No, you're asking the wrong person, but everything that it looks like a pile of dirt and dust to me right now. But it's everybody says it's on time, and I'm actually sitting in what will be one of our associate athletic director's offices, which has kind of become my temporary home. They had an 18,000 square foot pool that is a part of Hinkle Fieldhouse that hadn't been used in years, and they basically just dug that pool out. And they've made a three-story complex with the basement being all weight room. The middle floor, the main level of Hinkle, has become a student-athlete academic center and a brand-new training room. And then the top level, which I'm sitting in right now, has become kind of the administrative wing of Hinkle. It's where all their offices are going to be. So they kind of took them out of the main concourse and hallways of Hinkle, and they're moving the administrators all up to the third level of this pool. And that is complete, and so that's kind of where they've moved us for this temporary time, as they've completely ripped out our locker room and our offices where we were before, and then they're redoing the inside of Hinkle. We're getting all new chair backs. We're getting a video scoreboard in our men's basketball suite. We're getting all new offices. Our players are getting a locker room, which is basically doubling in size of what we had last year. And also getting an added video room, and so we're getting a lot of extra space. It's going to be, if our stuff turns out as nice as what I'm sitting in right now, we're going to be really happy. They've done a great job. It's kind of been interesting from a recruiting standpoint, because you've been showing players just blueprints on a piece of paper and some videos and some pictures of what it's going to look like, and now when recruits are on campus, we can actually walk them through Hinkle. And show them the construction that's going on. And so each time we're able to go in there, just like yesterday, we walked in, and you can kind of see, it's like the construction of a house. You can kind of see the room starting to take shape. They're studded out. There's no drywall or anything up yet, but you can kind of see, where offices are going to be, the size of the locker room. And so it's been pretty neat to watch and see, and they're doing everything they can to update an 85-year-old building and while keeping the historical feel. And it's kind of like relating when they built Bankers Life Fieldhouse, they kind of modeled it a little bit after Hinkle. And now Hinkle is kind of modeling itself after Bankers Life Fieldhouse, because they're able to see, having a historical building and yet adding the modern amenities that all the fans want. So it's been pretty neat to watch, and we're excited. They say about the end of October. We got an exhibition game on November 1st on the floor, so I hope it's done by then.
Well, there's no doubt great things are going on, and let's face it, folks, Butler is big-time basketball at the college level. I do want to relay a story. Since Michael is on here to kind of get into me a little bit, I will relay a story where I believe you were a freshman. We were in practice, and you may not have been doing the drill exactly the way I thought you should have been doing it. And you were a strong personality and a strong individual, and believe me, I like that about you. That's what made you such a good player, even as a freshman. And I sent you up at the top of the old gym to run around the track up there. And this was early in practice. I sent you up there. Your dad, Denny, who would later become the athletic director, was my assistant coach. And you were up there, and you were up there, and I think we went into free throws, and then you were up there, and then we went into free throws again, and I finally, I think it was like Wiggy or somebody came up, one of our managers said, hey, don't forget Michael's up there, and I was like, oh, my gosh, and I looked up, and you were running, and I walked over to your dad, and I said, Coach, I wish you would have said something. I forgot I sent him up there, and he looked at me, and he goes, I was torn. I was torn between Coach, and I was torn between being his dad, and I thought, you might think I was trying to help out my son. I said, don't ever do that again. And I called you back down there, and I acted like I hadn't forgot you were up there. But, Michael, all these years later, I did forget you were up there.
Well, there were several times I was up there I felt like you forgot about me. but I don't necessarily remember that instance because I was up there quite a bit, probably, and each time I deserve to be up there. Now that, you know, when you're almost 20 years removed and now in my position where you're coaching guys, you know, I've realized and looked back, like, I'm sure I wasn't the easiest guy to coach, but you know, what you did for me, you know, from the day as a freshman, you know, when you moved me up and, you know, you pushed me every day and you put me in a spot to be successful, and so I'll always be appreciative of that. So I don't, when I walked in my first practice at IU, I wasn't intimidated by any means by anything that was going to be done in that practice. I felt like mentally I was prepared for that level.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know each step you take, you grow and you learn, and I can tell you that in our worst days together to our best days together, I look back and you were a hardworking, talented player, and that's why you were one of the top. When you left high school, you were one of the all-time top scorers in the state of Indiana. And, folks, he didn't do it times a game. He did it shooting in the high 50s percentile all the way through, and you did. You worked hard 12 months a year, Michael, as well as playing tennis and running track. You gave it everything you had. And I'm thankful that we've had a good relationship. And Joe, you might have noticed I worked this to where he couldn't get into too many stories about me.
Yeah, I got cut off there, and I got cut off. I was on a roll, and you very wisely kind of turned it off in another direction.
Well, you know how you talked about getting kicked out of practice. You talked about getting kicked out of practice.
Joe, you got to get Roland on here. Me and Roland can just we can fill up the whole time
well, we'll
that
we'll
you have had
a
in the show.
We'll have to have a whole show on that. But I want to tell you a story real quick.
Sure,
you were talking about him kicking you out. He in sophomore year, Rex May was our basketball coach, and twice that year, Coach K got thrown out of practice. And what was so funny is both times, well, not the first time, I really didn't know he would come back, and he was like, I'm sorry, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm really wish I have another chance. And the second time he did it and he came back, I made sure I positioned myself behind Rex May and laughed at him the whole time because I knew he was going to come back. And I'm so.
That makes sense.
So he knows how it felt to get kicked out of a practice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, so when you're competitors and you're not going to have your best day, it's like I would always tell players, I know they don't always listen, just give me the best you got that day. And it may not be very good, but you just try to give your best. And some days as a player, as a coach, it's a struggle. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it.
You look back on it and you know, we had a lot of fun. We were won a lot of games and always got some experiences, not only with you but just the guys that I was able to play with, and it was kind of neat, you know, that the 100-year reunion. I thought that was really special, and it was neat to be a part of, and obviously, Coach, you played a big part in that, not only as a player but as a coach, so on behalf of all your former players, happy birthday, and even though you may not have known it at the time, we all appreciate what you were doing for us.
Well, thank you, Michael, and I know that when you're going through it, it's hard to see the forest from the trees, and I understood that because I went through the same thing as a player, not at your level, but sometimes with your demeanor in practice. So,
well, that's what's so fun now is when you go back and you get together with old teammates or old coaches, you're able to sit back and start telling stories. That's when you realize how much fun you're really having.
Oh yeah, and you played with some great guys. You played with Roland. You played with Bless and Bros and Adam Alford. I mean, you just had a whole crew of guys all through your 4 years where you learn and you teach and you have great relationships and great memories with them. And Michael, I've said it then, I still say it, and Janet and I feel this way. Once you guys were a part of our family, you're always a part of the family. And we're so proud. We really are. We're so proud and excited with your success and Nicole and your family and continued success. We're going to be right there rooting you all the way.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good luck to the Bulldogs. We'll be following you. Let's go to a quick break, Joe. I don't trust you anymore the rest of the show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, after you graduated from college, I remember distinctly sitting at I don't know why we would be at the tennis courts across the street from Janet Schulteis, Janet Bartley at the Times house, and you told me I applied for the Washington Catholic job, the head coaching job. And I remember looking at you thinking, you're such a fool. There's no way you're going to hire a kid right out of college. And sure enough, they did. And next up to tell us the truth, since Coach K speaks the truth, we're going to get the truth about Coach K today. We've got our superintendent, Washington Catholic great. His family, he speaks Washington Catholic when you say the name Madison. We've got Travis Madison. Travis, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. Just enjoying another beautiful day and just excited to have an opportunity to come on here and just share some great memories of Coach Schulteis.
It's not fair, Travis. It's not fair at all.
The ground rules first. You've got 15 minutes to say whatever you want about him. And at the, I forgot with Michael Lewis, at the two-minute warning, I will play. And you'll know you've only got 2 minutes left to give it to him and to say whatever you want. So. Go ahead, guys.
Coach knows that limiting me to 15 minutes probably is probably not a very good thing, or probably is a good thing because I could probably go on for hours because talking has never been anything that I've struggled with, and I know he's much the same way. So that's probably one of the things that when I played for him, there's a lot of times that I had to learn to keep my mouth shut, and he had to teach me that at a very young age, which was good for me because. My parents struggled at times doing the same thing, but I've been on here a few times sharing some stories with Coach, and obviously we've been blessed. I remember the first time I met Coach when he first got to WC, and I'll share a story that my younger brother, we ended up telling Coach later on down the road, my younger brother Toby was I think going to be a fifth grader. I was obviously going to be a seventh grader, and my older brother was actually going to be a sophomore. And we met him, and he was at the gym, and a lot of the kids that were at basketball camp at that time. I think Candy Igo was running the basketball camp, and because they were really at that point in time looking for a replacement for Dave Borland, so Andy had taken over the camp, and he came in like one of the final days after they made the announcement, and we kind of left. And of course, I think he wore glasses that day because he wanted to seem older. So I wore some glasses that day, and I think after we met him, and then I think Toby looked over me and goes, "Gosh, Coach Schulteis is kind of nerdy. He's kind of nerdy. I don't know if he doesn't look like he's much of a basketball player." And so I think later on down the road, we shared that story with Coach that Toby thought he was kind of nerdy when he first met him. But he was. I tell you what, Washington Catholic was very lucky in about in that spell there, where obviously we had a lot of good families, but we also, I think, looking at back on Sister Joseph Louise, who led that school for many decades, she ran a tight ship, and she ran it the way that she felt like the community needed, and she brought some very good people into the program, not only in the athletic programs, but in the school in general. And I know as a person that grew up there and went to school most of my time there and graduated from there, just was very blessed to go through that generation of Washington Catholic. A lot of good people that worked around the scenes, but obviously as an athlete, very blessed to have not only Dave Worland that was brought in, but then also followed by Coach Schulteis, who continued the things that he had set up and took him even further. And then obviously when Coach left for his hometown job at Jasper, for my senior year, we got a chance to have Coach Adams come in, who was there for 3 years and did a nice job. And I've got still a great relationship with all three of those guys, tremendous mentors, as somebody that knew he wanted to go into education coaching. And then since then, I've gotten out of coaching and into administration. I was able to watch those three guys operate and took a lot of what I still do today from those guys and what they did. And Coach was obviously hugely instrumental, as he was probably there the longest with me, just to watch the way he handled kids, to watch the way he handled himself. And I'm not going to get all sad and sappy on him, but again, the way he handled himself, and nobody's perfect, but the way he handled himself and the way that he treated kids, the way that he put kids first, and even the way he and Janet partnered. And the way that they teamed up, and they knew they were going to be there for wherever they were at. I think that's kind of what I wanted to have in my life, and that's what my wife and I do, whether I was a coach or a principal and now a superintendent. It was a blessing. So certainly want to wish him many, many more years, but as far as his time that we had, and he means a lot to our family and a lot of families around Washington, the time that he spent here and the impact that he made on so many of us. And so I wish him the best, continue to wish him the best, and I'm glad that I still get an opportunity to speak with him often. He's still my coach. I mean, he still has words of wisdom. He still has words of encouragement. You can't have enough of those people in your life. And it's important that you continue to listen to those folks, because they do have a lot of things to pass on to you. And I've just been so very blessed to have so many of those folks and coaches as one of the main folks that continue to do that for me and continue to be that person for me. So my dad passed about 6 years ago, so there's a lot of folks that have stepped into that role, and he's one of them. So it's a very important relationship that I have with him.
Well, Travis, I certainly appreciate that. I know that you could have come back with some tough stories, maybe the practice from hell or different things like that. So I'm pretty thankful, and I do want to say this before I let you continue. My time at Washington Catholic, the 5 years I was there, I have great relationships. And I think that, we were in a situation where we were a small school, very small school in a one-class system, that had a little taste of success with Coach Worland and the great job he did. And how do you continue that? And the thing that it was great families. It was Sister Joseph Louise and Sister Mary Denise's direction. It was great families, and I can tell people listening that Washington Catholic was not a Catholic school that was recruiting. These were families whose kids grew up in the Catholic school system, and we had to learn to play a big schedule with big hearts. And sometimes the effort that I asked from the players was tough, and I knew it was tough, but to beat the Memorials and the Harrisons and the Norths and the Jaspers and the teams like that, at that time when WC wasn't sure they could compete on that level, you just had to do those things. But the most important thing I remember, Travis, from your parents to the Templins to the Doyles, the Ballingees, the Becks, you just go on and on, the Daytons, they were always there. What can I do? How can I help? Not so their kid, their sons would get extra playing time. They really wanted Washington Catholic to be an experience for their kids and to be something special in the community. And that's what I remember, and my relationships there are still strong. And even the tough competitors and, you know, the Barre fans and Ligoti fans and those who you really had an intense rivalry there, to talk to them now and hear their stories and the respect they had for WC, that's a testament to you and your brother Ty and your brother Toby. So and look, let's think about it. Look how well you've done. John Mullen, so your brother Toby, so many young men and young women that came out of Washington Catholic have excelled in their professional lives as well. So your relationships that are more important to me than your time playing, but it was the time playing that created those opportunities for those relationships.
Certainly, certainly. Well, the one thing I guess I would add is, even, you know, obviously we were blessed in that environment to be able to openly, you know, talk about Christ and talk about, you know, those types of things, and that's not always the case, and probably not as prevalent as it needs to be in today's society. And I know, you know, when you talk about folks like you or Coach Igel or other coaches that we had, I mean, yeah, they worked us hard, but there was also the underlying factor is, you know, believe in something bigger than yourself. Not only believe in a team, not only believe in the people that are around you, but, you know, believe there's somebody up there that's looking out for you. Believe that there's somebody up there that you can go to get strength to do those types of things. And I think those are things that go far beyond the floor, the lines that you play on or the teams that you play on. And I know this is something you probably remember. I know in eighth grade I was struggling and at a basketball game, and you always came to all the feeder games. And I know, I think at halftime or something like that, you knew that I was struggling with something, because I wasn't very good at hiding that sometimes, especially when I was frustrated. And I think you had kind of given me a little bit of a speech to say, you know, you sometimes just need to turn things over there and look for him to give you strength. And that's something that's always stuck with me, even throughout the rest of my career, whether I was in a rough patch or when things weren't going my way, whether it was in school or with you know, sports or anything. And even today, as a 41-year-old man who has family, has three kids, and as all of us know, raising kids isn't easy. And whether it's with your relationship with your family or with your relationship with the people that you work with, I think it's always important to keep things in perspective, but also to know that you're not alone and know that you can always look to God and to Christ for strength. And that's something that I think when I look back on now, I mean, and those things are done. You can find Christ anytime. But boy, if you can find him at that time of your life and really rely on him there, boy, it can really serve you well as you go through your adolescent years, go through your young adult years, and even into now where I'm entering into my 40s. Because there's going to be things that get thrown your way that you're not going to be able to handle on your own. You're going to reach out, but you can also reach out there. And that's something that stuck with me that I think that I know I saw some posts on Facebook, and I think your wife hit it best. And I think that's something that you obviously modeled in your own life, but also that you taught others. And that's something that that goes far beyond learning how to play basketball, because you were good at that too. But that's something, I guess, if I could pass anything else on today, and I know you've not only just done that for me, but I know you've done that for several others that you've come in contact with, even beyond coaching, whether classroom teacher or whatever position you've held. So that's obviously a tribute to you and your relationship with Christ. So I think that's something that obviously was an added blessing on top of everything else. So,
well, I do appreciate that, and I think that was the core foundation in my coaching, in my teaching, regardless of the days when I was screaming at the top of my lungs or asking you guys to block three guys out at one time with two, three-step block outs or trip or whatever it might be. In the end, we tried to end the days. We tried to start the days with the foundation. You know, it's like fundamentals in basketball, the fundamentals you learn in a math class. You start with religion. You start with some kind of a basis, whether you're Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or United Christian, whatever that might be. But as you grow into a basketball player, you go from fundamentals to seeing the game, reacting, getting in the flow, creating based on your foundation. And I think that's the same thing, Travi, and I appreciate that. Your spiritual life grows. And you go from a building or a set prayer to a spiritual walk with Christ, with our God, where you're talking to him, where you're listening to him, where he's moving you in directions, where you find yourself places you never thought you would be. Sometimes you're so excited. Other times you're like, why am I here? And then he just keeps unfolding it as you walk with faith. So I appreciate that the core message, and I believe that's why I was blessed with a head coaching position so early in my life, because I think I was focused in the right place. Didn't always do it right. You know what? There's only one person that did, and that was Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for that, Travis. And I know that those triple loose ball drills are those. How about those?
Well, you still have scars. We still have scars.
How about those eight on five defensive transition drills where you got to guard?
I'm not going to say that there weren't times where we looked at each other and like, where did he come up with this one? It's like, were you and Coach Igel sitting at home thinking, okay, what can we do to him tomorrow? I'm not gonna lie to you. There were probably times where we questioned your sanity, but obviously we felt like there's a method to the madness. But obviously winning was a lot of fun, so that certainly makes a lot of those things a lot easier. So that's it does all add up. And again, a lot of great memories and a lot of great friendships that we've had. And I just appreciate Joe letting me come on today. And I was going to be mean, but I decided I've done that enough over the last year or two of your show, and I'll probably continue to, next time I'm on, I'll probably come up with something that we can add to your legacy as far as stories go, because I know I've probably got plenty, but I did want to share the Toby story, because I know you were aware of that a little bit, or at least we made you aware of it shortly there. I think Janet always called Toby your first son, because I think every Saturday morning he was usually calling you wanting to get into the gym, and Ty was usually running out the back door wanting to figure out something else to do, because he liked doing his own thing. So, but I appreciate it. And again, happy belated birthday, and I hope you got to enjoy the family. And I know Josh is getting ready to head out to do a little traveling, so I'm sure he has a safe trip and comes back here in the fall ready to go again for us here at Bar Reef too. So we're excited to have him.
Well,
he's done a great job his first year, and I'm just going to say Janet's done a great job with him.
Yeah, she has. Believe me, she has. Before I let you go, I do want to share one story for people. I was in transition. I was going from the Washington Catholic job to the Jasper job, and I had made a promise to take Toby to five-star camp. Every year I took a number of players out to the Pittsburgh area for the five-star basketball camp. It was one of the top camps in the country. I wanted my players to experience playing against the very best players in the country, exposed to the great coaches, which the Calipari's and the Patinos and all those guys would be out there, and many of the players would be future NBA players, and in fact that they were. And I remember I needed to get to Jasper. I was in transition. I was so tired from the process of the interviews and being named and the emotion of it, but I promised Toby, and I said, I will drive out there. And Travis, you said, I'll go with you and spend the week with you. And you did. We spent the week out there. But the great thing was we got on the interstate and we're headed from Indianapolis through Columbus on into West Virginia and into Pennsylvania. And I could not keep my eyes open anymore, folks. I literally could not do it. And Travis was kind enough to drive like 4 hours of that and allow me to sleep in the back of my van. I think you guys laughed about how much I snored back there, but I always remember that. Been a guy who steps up, and so it doesn't shock me that today you are the fine superintendent of the Bar Reef Community Schools. So I wanted to share that with our listeners.
I appreciate it, Coach, and like I said, you enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you probably late this fall when we get geared up for some other stuff. So you guys, again, Joe, thanks for having me on, and I'm sure you've got some other surprise guests for Coach today. So again, thanks again, and you guys take care.
All right, thanks, Travis. We're going to go to another break. When we come back, hopefully my surprises are over, but we'll see. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the
and
Coach
we're back
K and
on
Joe
the, I'm
Show.
I'm sorry.
Go
All
ahead,
right, Coach.
Joe.
You go ahead and take it for a minute. Your next guest just text me. I've got to text him.
Okay, we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and folks, I got hoodwinked here by my partner in crime, Joe Milligan. I thought we were going to have Tom Dienert and Mitch Stetter and several people on. Instead, since it was my birthday yesterday, they said I'm 52. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He's had a couple of my former players come on and kind of rip me a little bit. Michael Lewis, who's currently the assistant at Butler University for the Butler Bulldogs and former Washington Catholic player, current superintendent of Bar Eve High School or Bar Eve Community Schools. Travis Madison was just on. So I've been pretty fortunate. I've done a great job of adjustments, just as I did when I coached, at least most of the time, folks, redirecting it so I don't get dinged too much.
Now, Coach, I've got one thing to ask you, though. I mean, our next guest, I just realized I'm putting two and two together here. Our next guest is also an administrator, from Washington Catholic. How, you couldn't have had anything to do with these kids, these young men growing up to be in the administration world of schools, right?
I mean, I always look back and I think I've had many players that have grown up to be very successful. Whether it had anything to do with me or just the chance that we were put together, I don't know, Joe. I'm going to plead the fifth on that.
Okay, so let's bring on the next guest then.
It sounds like John Mullen.
Coach Schultheis, how are you, buddy?
John Mullen, principal at Ligoti High School, one of the smartest young men I knew and an excellent basketball player. How are you doing, John?
Coach, happy birthday yesterday, and I'm not sure you're aware of this, but I'm blessed to have an 11-year-old yesterday. My son Jalen turned 11 on your 52nd birthday, so we've got that in common. And, it's such a blessing raising my own son. But I'll tell you what, Coach, even though I only played 1 year for you as a freshman in 88-89, I'll just be honest, I wish my son could play for you.
Well, you know, the one thing that was fun about my time at Washington Catholic and also at Jasper, within the ability we could do it, even though it was your freshman year, we spent a lot of time in your younger years with summer camp and games. We'd go play at different schools and going to your games while you were in fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, going into the dressing room, talking to you guys. There really was a connection between me as the high school coach and you guys coming all the way up the system.
You're exactly right. It's really hard to describe the family program atmosphere, but you were in everything. And you put coaches in place at the feeder levels, and I particularly think about Lincoln Mangin at the eighth grade level to prepare us for what we were about to run into in high school. And I guess I was just an eighth grader when Travis was a sophomore, when the hell practice happened. But quite honestly, for me, as a freshman, all the practices were hell practices in my book.
and you were very fortunate because you were a good player, and so it was a much easier transition that we would have freshmen up on the JV, more involved. And I didn't there was no segregation or specialization. If you were up on the JV or varsity, you all went through the same drills. You went against each other, senior versus freshman, sophomore versus junior. It didn't matter. We were preparing you if you had to put on that varsity uniform and get out on the floor.
There's no question. And I want to tell some stories. You know, I'm not going to let you off the hook here, Coach. I mean, you know, Michael Lewis, you know, you mentioned that perhaps you forgot Michael in the stairs his freshman year. There's no way you forgot about me at the Hatchet House on our sectional practice. Of course, we played L&M the night before, and we won that game. It's actually the last varsity game played at L&M. We won that game 68-67. That's a bit of trivia that Coach Schulteis won that last game at L&M. But the next morning, the Saturday morning, practice, sectional practice, you know, Washington would let us in the gym. I'm not sure how the sectional times got worked out, but it seems like we went at 7 a.m. or maybe 8. So it was a late night the night before, and actually the JV lost in overtime to L&M that night. And true story, I was on the JV and played a little bit of varsity, but true story, we lost in overtime, and Coach was so mad at the JV, he wouldn't let us into the locker room after the game. He would not let the JV come into the locker room. We eventually got in there after the varsity took the floor and Coach Schulteis was out on the floor. We were able to get in, get a shower, and get back behind the bench before the game started. But that was the passion that he had for the JV. But the next morning we had the sectional practice there in the Hatchet House, and about 10 minutes into it, and I had played poorly the night before, and I was on the varsity, you know, on the sectional roster, but enamored with the Hatchet House and being at sectional practice. And about 10 minutes into that 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. practice, I spaced out in a drill, and you sent me upstairs, Coach. You sent me upstairs in the Hatchet House, and an hour and 20 minutes later, I was still there. But the reason I know you didn't forget about me up there is because practicing at the Hatchet House wasn't enough. We had to go back to the birdcage and have another practice. And as soon as we got back to the birdcage, guess where I was? I was upstairs. So I know you didn't forget about me being in the stairs.
That was the cool-down phase at the birdcage, though. Much
evidently it was.
Well, John, and all I can say is that I wanted to make sure that as a freshman you understood no matter what day it was, no matter what situation you were in, you were a part of a sectional roster, and no matter what age you were, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you had to be mentally sharp because WC was always looked at in what I call the stepchild status, and I don't mean anything by that politically incorrect, but that maybe we weren't quite the full fit, and I wanted to make sure that everybody knew WC players were as good or better and more ready than anybody else walked on the floor. So I appreciate the fact that you took that in stride over the years, John.
Yeah, at 39 now, Coach, I realize you were just trying to make me mentally tougher and actually probably realized I needed to get in better shape. So that was a long 2.5 hours.
Ouch, you know, John. Ouch.
Coach, something else, and again, I only got to play my freshman year, and I wish it would have been longer, and you'll always be Coach, the best coach I've had. But something else that I remember a lot of things, but one of the things that I definitely remember is you were able to get me in my first varsity game ever as a freshman, and it was at Jasper. I'll never forget the moment, being able to come in there in the last minute or so of that varsity game against Jasper, which we lost badly or we won badly. In that case, we had a big lead. And so that was a highlight. That was certainly a highlight, getting to play at Jasper my freshman year.
Yeah.
I also remember, you know, these days being a high school principal, if we miss school because of weather, we send the kids home or let's say, for example, we get 6 inches of snow or more. Obviously, there's probably not going to be practice during that. And a lot of times that will happen over the Christmas break. We'll get a big snowstorm. I certainly remember not just practicing during snowstorms over Christmas break, but we had double-day practices. We'd get 10 inches of snow, and you'd come pick us up for two practices a day. I mean, double days
were
the snow on the ground. I recall it. It happened.
Yeah, we did that, and I would. I would tell your parents, if you don't have to worry about getting them there, I will come get them. And, you know, people may not believe that, but I would literally get my vehicle, and any assistant coach that I could get to do the same, we would go pick up the players, get them there, and get them home.
Well, my cousin Chris was on the team as a freshman as well before he left for Washington the following year. And Chris was at his house, and of course we were on the West End and still are, and Chris was on the team. And Chris decided he couldn't make it, even though it wasn't real far back up to the birdcage. But I believe you went and got Chris that day.
That is absolutely true. I heard that Chris just didn't think he could make it in, and John, you're right. I can remember it vividly now. I said, well, that's not going to happen. I'll go get him. He's coming to practice. And a lot of that was to create, again, if people don't understand, it would have been easy to say, well, we'll just deal with that later. It was to create the discipline that if the team's there, you got to be there. And we're going to get you there. We're not going to leave you to find your own way. Will help get you there. But it was more about the accountability, John. And as I look back, it was making guys accountable, giving them every opportunity to become accountable, and then they have to make their own choice after that. And as crazy as it might sound from the standpoint of you know, coaches wouldn't be willing to do that or why would they do that, it really was teaching moments. That's how passionate I was about the educational process. As much as I was about the basketball process.
And, Coach, it's a lot easier for me as a school administrator to see that today. But, you know, obviously, you know, you mentioned the word crazy, and, yeah, okay, maybe we thought that was a little bit crazy. But quite honestly, the way you held us to a higher standard, made us accountable, you know, made sure if we weren't behaving in class or respecting our parents, the fact that you made us aware of those things, you know, today, 20 years later, 25 years later, I mean, it's what we're trying to do with our own children and how we're trying to create that atmosphere here at Lagodi or at Bar Eve with Travis, you know, with Tim Grove and what he's doing at North Knox and now South Knox. So the respect factor, I just can't, like I said, I wish you were around to coach my son because, you know, those valuable lessons that were instilled at such a young age when we were coming up through the feeder program with Coach Igel and Coach Whirlin, yourself, Kevin Doyle, Lincoln Manchin, those are things that are still with us, and hopefully we're doing our best to instill those things to kids in 2014. But a few other stories here since it's your birthday and since we sabotaged you here, why not share a few more if you don't mind, Coach?
You got the floor, John.
Sorry about this type A personality here, Coach. I, at 39, I'm finally able to stand up to you and take the floor, so I will. The gas stop in Montgomery was built in the fall of 88. It was a new restaurant in Davis County, you know, the Amish place there that's still around. And so I guess my freshman year was actually 89-90, not 88-89. I remember running onto the sectional floor at the Hatchet House my eighth grade year after you upset Coach Butcher and the Lions in the 89 sectional. So that was a vivid memory as well. But so I take, I guess, 89-90 would be my freshman year. So the gas stall's been around a year, year and a half, and you promised us supper, and actually, after that sectional win in 88-89, Lagodi returned Jeff Doyle and the rest of the crew, and they were undefeated and wanted blood in 89-90. And they beat us 74-37. Doyle, I think, had 40 or 41 points. He went off. He was so mad from the year before when we stole the sectional. But so it's the following weekend, and we're scheduled to play Linton on a Saturday night, and we had just come off an embarrassing 37-point loss to Lagodi. And it was a week of hell practices, believe me, but it was Friday night, and we had Linton on a Saturday, and you had promised we were going to eat at the Gasthof on that Friday evening. And I'm not sure what time dinner reservations were. I just know they had to be postponed 3, 4, 5, 6 different times that evening because that practice, I believe, did not finish until almost 8:30, and we started after school. And I think dinner was probably scheduled for 6:30 or 7 o'clock that night. And we got our dinner, but it was cold, and it was almost 9 o'clock, and I think the Gasthof was ready to close the doors on us. That was a five-hour hell practice.
I'm sure I had John Gill up there holding the doors open until we got there.
Bluegill was responsible and probably had to call the guest off a number of times that evening and let him know, hey, Coach Schulteis is on his way. Well, they're on their way. They're on their way. And, of course, we went out the next night at Linton, and we laid an egg. I think we lost by 10, and that was probably that year, that was probably the lowest point we had been when we were in that locker room at Linton. It was just such a bad result. The officiating, of course, was poor. I think you questioned a few calls that evening. But I do recall
and,
that. Go ahead.
And I'll tell you, John, I as a coach, we all learn from those experiences. And I realized during that period, because we had some injuries, we had a lot of adversity that we were trying to overcome. And I think that one thing that I learned during that period was sometimes in the frustration, in the adversity, without giving in, you got to back off a little bit. And I remember that period. I remember that Ligoti loss. They played their 1-3-1. Doyle was as fired up as you could be. We were ambushed from the beginning, and we just did. They just ate us alive, and it was a struggle through that stretch of about 3 or 4 games.
Right, right. But yeah, you realized, like you said, you realized we were hurt, we were struggling with our confidence. Of course, we had to, you know, we were trying to live up to the string of winning consecutive seasons, which I'm sure was on your mind. And of course, we were playing a lot of younger kids. It was tough, but yet we bounced back. You know, we were able to overcome and get Shoals. And, you know, we had a tough game with Duggar, a really strong Duggar team, and knocked off Cannelton, and then we beat DuBois at home and Worthington at home and killed Tecumseh. And then later in the year, I think we got Evansville North by about 19 points at home, which was a huge win. I'm not so sure. Was your brother coaching at that time?
Yeah, he was assistant coach. He was not happy about that. He blames it on the hospitality room that the Washington Catholic – mothers were in there feeding North coaches too much good food, and it caused them to get fat and lazy.
You know, it's amazing how opponents felt like the hospitality room and perhaps the Knights of Columbus following the game determined some of the outcomes. So, you know, I'm sure we didn't pay well. You know, back then, as far as officials, you know, I also do some officiating. I'm sure we weren't making the money that we do now in officiating. But I guess the hospitality within the hospitality room there at WC and certainly after the game at the KSC, you know, made the difference for us. But, well, you know, we won an awful lot of games in the Birdcage. And one of the memories I have about the Birdcage isn't actually the gym itself because, you know, of the gym part, I remember the locked and chained doors, and I remember the loose ball drills on the stage and the scars that we still have on our legs from the wooden splinters on the stage. But I remember the locker room, Coach. I certainly remember the locker room. And here's two more stories here before Coach Eigel takes over. And he could talk for 5 hours, and he only gets 15 minutes. But and sorry, I just spoiled that. But two stories about the locker room. Number one, Coach, a boy, a basketball, a dream. That was painted in the locker room. And, you know, it gives me – it almost – I mean, there's just something about a boy, a basketball, a dream. And, you know, I guess having my own son and the fact that he likes to play – it just gives me chills to think about that saying, a boy, a basketball dream in that locker room. And the other thing is, during one of those hell practices, I was in that locker room, and it was early in the season, and I didn't think I could do much more. I wasn't a great runner to begin with, and it was always didn't make it, and we were constantly on the line. And I went into that locker room because I was done. I couldn't give it anymore. I wanted to play, but I just couldn't keep up with the running. And you were pushing us, and I was just a freshman, and I knew you wanted me to be good, but I just didn't think I could do it. And I went into that locker room, and I was determined I wasn't coming out. And Coach Travis Madison and Toby Madison and all my teammates and you and all the coaches, you guys came in there, and you brought me out of that locker room, and I almost quit. But because of you and those guys, look at what we accomplished. and I'll never forget it.
Well, thank you, John. And I remember that time. And we always wanted to realize that you were never, even when you were at your toughest and you're at that point of stretching forward or curling back, your teammates, your coaches were your family, and we didn't leave you sitting by yourself. If you were right there, we were going to help you over. And I remember putting that, having that painted up there. I remember saying that boy of basketball, a dream. And that's what I hoped was in your heart, and it was. And no matter any of the difficulties you go through, you can call back to those times, and you can say, you know what, my teammates, my coaches, my family, I'll get through this, and I'll move forward. And you have. And you've got a beautiful family, beautiful young children, and you're an outstanding leader. You keep growing, and you keep getting better. So,
Coach, thanks so much. And, yeah, thank you. You have no idea how much you mean to me.
Well, same here, and I'm here if you whatever you need. We're here, and we're always keeping track of you. I know every once in a while you'll get a text message from me out of the blue saying, how's everything going? Because we're always thinking of you, John. We're always thinking
good to,
of you.
It was good to see you back here in January with, of course, you know, Bar Evil Goaty, but, you know, with your son teaching at Bar Evil on the bench. And it was great to see you and Jack Butcherina. I know you've been able to win some games against Ligoti, but it was just good seeing you up here, back with Brian McAtee. And like I said, those guys, you know, some of my best friends, Toby and I are still best friends. It's the high school memories that you cherish forever. And so I appreciate you, Joe, for asking me to come on and share some stories. I've been on 20 minutes now, so sorry, Coach. I think I've said all I need to say. Love you, Coach. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John.
Take care. All right. Thanks, guys.
Love you, buddy. We're going to go
to
break. When we come back, we'll see what else Joe's doing to me. He's going to get it in the end. I'm telling you, Joe's going to get it in the end. Love John Mullen. Love all these guys. And, you push guys to the brink sometimes, but you know what they're made of. You know the fiber. And you know that if they'll stay and go over that line, something wonderful will happen in their lives that they'll remember forever. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Okay, Coach K speaks the truth, but today we're speaking the truth about Coach K. And I'll tell you what, the next guest, Coach, I remember the first time I saw you guys at practice and being you looked about 18, and the guy that was by your side looked about 15. And I was like, these guys are the varsity basketball coaches. I was used to someone like Ed Schulteis and Rex May, and here's two kids who look like they couldn't even buy beer coaching a basketball team. And I think you probably understand who I'm talking about. We've got a longtime coach, longtime friend of yours. I know probably, other than Ed Schulteis, probably your favorite coach was Andy Eigel.
Well, it's good to have you, Andy. One of my he's not only one of the best. He's not only the best assistant that I could say. I mean, nobody was better, but he is one of the best coaches I've ever worked with, ever known, and absolutely one of my very best friends. He's in the Joe category, in the Luke Holtz category, and my brother's category. Andy Eigel, Coach Eigel. I hope you're nice to me,
Coach. Schulteis. It's Hamhead in the flesh. ready to tell my favorite Coach K stories. So I've got to get right into it. Let's go first year at Washington Catholic. Let's remember one thing. When Sister Joseph Lee's called me in, and, you know, before this all went down, Sister Joseph Lee's had pretty much said, you know, Andy, if, you know, we hire a guy, we're going to push for you to be the JV coach. So I said, okay, sounds good. Keep in mind that I am, Joe, a couple of years older than Kenny, maybe 18 months. So when I was in the gym watching Open Gym and Sister Joseph Lee's brings Coach Schulteis in, and I see this guy and I think, Coach Schulteis looked like he was about 16, 17 years old. And, yeah, I'm young, but this guy's really a young kid. I thought, how are we going to do this? How are we going to win basketball games? You remember that night, Coach?
I remember it.
I'm going to be honest. I love you, but at that moment, there was doubt. But once I got to work with you and we sat down and talked hoops, I knew that we had made a great hire in Coach Schulteis.
And you know what? You were such a great politician. I thought you had confidence in me from the very beginning.
And I did. And I knew we had made a great hire. But, you know, it was a great situation. And, you know, my current wife, then girlfriend, remarked how I would jump. When you said jump, I jumped. And I remember many times phone calls coming late at night. Had no idea what we were going to do, but you said, get over here right now. And there we would be, 10 o'clock at night, Coach Schulteis would have his board out, and we'd be drawing plays, or we'd be talking personnel. And I'm sure people thought I was your shadow, because where Kent Schulteis was, Andy Igel was right behind him. And I thought, my God, this guy's nuts. He requires 24/7 of me, literally. And, you know, I knew that there was a lot of time involved, but my land. But what it did, it developed a great friendship along with two guys that worked their tails off to make Washington Catholic what it was. And it was already good, but we took it up a notch, and it was a great thing.
He's not lying. I mean, I was at Jasper the same way, and if I coached again, I'd still be the same way. If it's 10 o'clock at night and I've got something on my mind and I think it's something we can change or adjust, I'm back at the gym. My wife would tell you that I'd come home, eat, hang out for an hour or so, and I'd go back to the gym. And, Andy, I think that I learned as much from you about commitment and dedication as you may have thought I required, because I saw that you were willing to give everything you had, and I think that's why through your 17, 20 years of coaching, you were one of the best coaches in the state of Indiana.
Well, I thank you for that, but now I'm going to tell the best story. And again, Joe, I could be on here for 3 hours and we wouldn't even touch it. I could tell you about the game of bumper pool we just played in his basement 2 days ago that was awesome. But here's my all-time favorite great Kenny Schulteis story. Okay, we're at the end of the first year. We've done all our prep work for the sectional. He sends us out Saturday night and says, hey, you guys get some rest because next week's going to be a busy week. It's a Saturday before sectional week. So I'm going to spend a little time with my girlfriend and see my family a little bit. And it's about Sunday night, maybe 6 o'clock. Phone rings. Pick it up. Coach, yeah, what's up? He goes, you need to get over here right now. I'm like, what? You said we need to spend some time with our family and our girlfriends and everything, and now what do you want to do? He said, just get over here right now. So, like always, and being the dedicated assistant I was, I jump in my car, tell my girlfriend, kiss her bye, said, I don't know what he's got up now, but he wants me there now. I'm going to be there. So I drive over the house. I walk in. There's Kevin Doyle, another great assistant of ours. And then John Bluesky, Bluegill, there also. We go, what are we doing? He goes, get in the car. So I can't remember who drove, but we drove to Pike Central, okay? What are we going to Pike Central for? He said, just trust me, we're going to Pike Central. We get in front of Pike Central High School. He gets out of the car, and he says, it's not your year! Okay? So we get in the car, and we head towards Montgomery, okay? We go into front of Bar Reeve High School, and he gets out again and says, it's not your year! Okay, we go to Ligoti. We go to North Davis. We end up in Washington, obviously, and he gets in front of the Hatchet House and says, it's not your year. Now, at that point, with everything I've been through, I'm really questioning the sanity of this guy. And though I had a blast doing it because we had a good time anytime all us guys got together, I still look back on that as one of the neatest things and craziest things I've ever seen a coach do. And in all my years of coaching, trust my assistants know, we didn't go out to Sunday before sectional and yell in front of the schools, it's not your year. Remember, Coach?
I remember it. And we took all those back roads, and
yeah.
I think you were driving because we usually made you the driver, and we
yes.
took those back roads, and we hit all those schools, and we stood out there, and you had a thing that you would always do when we'd come up on a sign that would say this many miles to French Lick, this many miles to Du Bois.
Yeah,
you'd say,
yeah.
yep, it happened again. French Lick beat Du Bois 42-27, the number of mile markers. You taught me that, and that's really what got me thinking about, you know what, we need to relax, we need to kick back. Sunday is the start of a new week, by the way, so Sunday night it was fair game. And we literally drove the Washington sectional route of teams and did that. Of course, we were talking, and we might have had a cold drink in the car as we did
yes.
it. Of course,
yes.
No drinking and driving, but just and it was. I just remember what a great bonding experience it was, because it was just us and we could talk about anything we want. And I do remember when I got out at Pike Central, and you guys were like, "What's he doing?"
I just, you know, all stories aside, obviously, Coach and I's bond has went far beyond the coaching aspect from spiritual standpoint. Many, many times Coach and I prayed on the WC center circle and met late for those types of things. I owe him everything. Those years, you know, I've head coached over 24 years, but I'm not sure if those 5 years weren't the most special I've ever had as a coach. And it's because of the guy that led us. It's because of the guy that was committed and dedicated to his team, his staff, his community, and most of all his faith. That has kept our bond as strong as it's been through the years. And he should know this. If he doesn't, Coach, the respect that I have for you goes through the roof. I definitely, you're my best friend. You're a guy that, like I said, those years were special, and it's always special when we get together, even if it's playing bumper pool and you kick my butt. it's just a great time, you know, I'm still hoping for you to get back into the game, and I know I want to get back into the game, because most people are born to do something, but I can guarantee you this: Coach Kenny Schulteis was born to coach, and that's his vocation, his calling, and I just thank God that I got to spend 5 years coaching with him.
Well, Andy, thank you, and you need to be back in it too. And I can tell folks, we grew up together in coaching. I learned as much from him. I learned about commitment. I learned about how to be loyal, how to depend on one another. I'm the godfather over his child, Chelsea, his oldest. I love you, Andy. That's all I can say, too. I love you. And every time you won as a coach when I was out, it was a victory. I just felt the elation. And when you lost, I hurt and felt like you felt. That wasn't too bad. You didn't ding me too bad.
Well, I could really go deep, and I spent time writing down a bunch of things last night, but you know I think the classic was going around to the sectional schools, but you know we did some crazy things, but most of the time, and I mean most of the time, 80-90% of the time, what we did was to help kids, and your agenda even was always to help kids, make kids better people, players, husbands, you know, anything to help them for the future. And you know, I've seen a lot of coaches through the years, but it was always about making that kid a better person. You demanded a lot. I don't know if anybody's told the stage story where you took kids when we ran out of time for practice and we practiced another hour up on the stage. I mean, at times, Coach Schulteis seemed a little crazy to me, but now that I've coached a long time, I know exactly what was behind the madness. And it was always love and caring about those kids and making better people.
Well, Andy, the stage story, just real quickly, we were having a practice, and you have to share the gym, especially at a place like Washington Catholic. There was a volleyball game coming up. It was earlier in the year. Our kids were kind of dogging the last 30 minutes. We were working your hands behind your back, like 5-on-5 or 5-on-4 or 4-on-5 defense, and you could tell the kids knew the volleyball team was going to be coming in. They thought they started to dog it. My concern was that Washington Catholic, we were young, we were small, we could never have a time where we let down, and I knew I never wanted us to be that way because we had a tough schedule, tougher than most small schools. And I told them, I said, you're not going to cheat me, or you're not going to cheat yourself, and I'm not going to cheat you. And I know, Coach, you know this. I always said they can say whatever else they want about me, bad or good, but they can never say I cheated them a day of their life that I spent time with them in practice or whatever it might have been. And I said, we will go up on that stage. And none of them believed it. And I told the manager.
I didn't either at first.
I told the managers and John Gill to go up there and tape a lane up there. We didn't need a basket. We didn't need a basket because we weren't going to shoot the ball. We were just going to work on sliding and cutting off and defending and helping. And we shut the curtains. We put 3 or 4 JV players in front of them in case somebody got close to falling off the stage. And we practiced the 30 minutes they wasted. We got the 30 minutes back on the stage. And I think at that point, most everybody realized either you give it in practice the normal time or he'll get it from you after practice.
One way or another, we were gonna get it out of him. And, you know, the commitment that made us so good. So much fun to watch, and so many great memories. Golly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 5 years there, we were ranked in the top 20. This was the one class, top 20.
Yes.
Three of those five, and that just didn't bear it. That just didn't happen as consistently, and we were always respected throughout Southern Indiana after that. You know, Coach, one more thing. I know if Danny Igle is your brother who played for me his senior year, the story about kicking the ball through the little 2x2 window.
Yeah.
I don't really remember it that well. All I know is they say that I went on one of my rants and, you know, I wanted to make a point, so I kicked the ball. Everybody was staring at me. I kicked the ball across the gym. It went through this little 2x2 ticket window, and it just created – everybody just – it just broke up. It created one of the great moments in practice – And from then on, it just seemed like we struck gold and moved forward. So,
Well, thank you for everything, and again, our relationship will continue on for many years, and praying daily that you get back in this game, and it's just always great to talk on your show. And Joe, I thank you so much for having me, because very few times in life do you get touched by people. Very few times do people touch your lives like Coach Schulteis did mine, and for me to get on him here and roast him, I feel honored and privileged. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy. I certainly appreciate it. Andy Idle, one of the very best coaches, teachers in the state of Indiana, because you know why? He cares. He cares about his people. A great father, great family man, outstanding husband. Thanks again, Andy. We're going to go to quick break. Again, I don't know what Joe, hopefully this is done, because it's getting too emotional in here. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're on the Coach K Speaks the Truth, so we're speaking the truth about him version of the Coach K and Joe Show. And, you know, Coach, we've talked to players you've coached, we've talked to a coach that you coached, but we haven't talked to any players that you played with. And undoubtedly, the next guest is the best player you ever played with, and we've got Mike Ballinger on the line. Mike, how you doing?
I'm great, Joe. How are you, man?
Hey, Harry,
hey,
good to hear
you. How
you doing? I'm doing all right. I wonder what you got.
You know what? To be honest with you, I'm a little unqualified for this. I was coaching my oldest last night in a doubleheader. In between games, I checked my phone, and Joe had texted me, wanted me to come on today and I guess grill you or roast you, whatever term you want to use. I don't – you know what? The biggest thing I can – be critical of Kenny, and it's really not a criticism, is he was about as competitive as I was during games, during practices, and I know he got that from his father. You know, I wasn't lucky enough to see Kenny coach at Jasper or Washington Catholic because I was living in other states and I just wasn't able to come back, so I can't, you know, bring any of those good stories. I mean, I said this before on your show, and I always respected your father and your family and what they did for Jasper basketball. And I just remember as a kid so much, anytime your dad was trying to get anybody's attention, he'd stomp that foot with those shoes, and it would sound like a gun was going off. So my first question is, Kenny, was that something – I know you stole a lot of stuff from your dad and had a great career coaching like your dad, but was that one of the things you stole from your dad?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The stomping of the foot was critical and to get people's attention and a few other things. But absolutely, Mike. And one thing I can say as we're talking to one of the great athletes ever, in Southern Indiana, Mike Ballinger, the competitiveness that I had as an average player compared to you, your example of how hard you work, and folks, don't let anybody ever kid you. When you're good, but to be great, and he was great, you have to work at it. And Mike always worked at it, whatever sport it was, whatever he needed to do. He got in the gym, and I'll tell you, Mike, that taught me as I went into coaching about what to expect from my best players, like a Scott Rowland, a Michael Lewis, the kids I had at Washington Catholic. You can't become an Indiana All-Star resting on just your physical gifts. You've got to take those gifts and make them better. So you were, believe it or not, as a player, a great example for me as I went into coaching.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I was lucky enough that Joe called me a few minutes before I came on, so I was able to listen to the last 5 minutes, and I listened to the last caller. Now, there's no question I'm not surprised that you kicked the ball through a certain area. I completely, that doesn't surprise me at all. I understand that. And also, I'm not surprised at all that when you ran out of gym time, you found someone else to practice. I mean, I'm not surprised if the parking lot was open, and even if it was cold outside, you'd have mapped off a little court on the parking lot in the back, and you would have taken care of with some drills right there, too, I'm sure.
I'm not so sure we didn't do that once in a while. We did have to watch the weather a little bit. You know, Mike, one of the things that I also want to bring up since you're on that people may not understand is you were a guy, again, this goes back to what you learn from the people you play with and from the guys you coach with. I would go out on the floor, and my time wasn't like your time, but in the end, we were all going for the same thing. And to win a sectional, and your passion and drive to point your finger at the other guys to step up and let's get this done was there, and it was accountability. And I think that's another thing when you play with great players, and you are under great coaches, you take that with you, and accountability. And that's one thing I always got from you was accountability. You were never afraid to point yourself out, but you're never afraid to look at the other guy and say, man, is this the best you got? Man, if this is the best you got, you don't need to be here.
Well, you know, I know, and I said this before, and I've always enjoyed being on your show, and I've said, you know, your brothers and your dad were such great examples for you and how to play basketball and how to represent the high school and Jasper. And, I saw that, too, not only with your dad and Coach May and Coach Howard and Coach Brewer. You know, I just remember all the great basketball players and, you know, like Tony Ahrens when they had that great run in football and, you know, the guys before me in baseball. There was just so many people that I looked at when I was a sixth grader and a seventh grader and, you know, soon to be a high schooler. You know, like I talked this about before, I can remember seeing every sporting event probably. I mean, I can remember going to track meets, and I knew I couldn't, was never fast enough to run track, but I just remember going to track meets with my dad, and you would see, you know, like a Pat Cassidy and Brad Smith and some of the other guys, and I'm forgetting so many other people, but that, you know, the race was a mile, it was a half mile, it was just a quarter. And the effort the guys would put in, it would just make you like, man, I got to do that too because these guys are doing that representing Jasper, and I want to be exactly the same thing when I was in fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade. So there's just so many people. And, again, I feel bad that this is supposed to be a roast and I'm supposed to, you know, dig on you and be negative, but I can't really think of anything except maybe – you might have taken things a little too serious, but then I did too, so maybe we're in the same boat when it comes to that.
Well, I tell people all the time, I've been very blessed. I got to play with an Indiana All-Star. I couldn't be one, but I wanted to coach some because I got to play with one. And I was very fortunate that either having to coach them their full high school career or part of it, I had four young men who went on to be Indiana All-Stars. So even today, to be an Indian All-Star is a special thing. And although I couldn't be one, I make it a point to let everybody know that I played with one and I got to help develop and coach four of them. So I've been very blessed and very fortunate. And Mike, in before we let you go, you're coaching your kids, you're watching them grow. What are some of the things that are do's and don'ts? What are some of the things that you're taking with you from your time growing up, and what are some of the things you'd say to fathers out there, hey, maybe step back on?
Well, last time I was in town, I had a chance to see Coach Howard, and I coach my oldest now, and he's going to be a sophomore in high school. And, of course, I watch my younger one every chance I get when I'm not coaching the other one. I stole a lot of stuff from Coach Howard, different drills, different sayings, the way we run practices, the way we run games. You know, it would be hard for me not to coach them. I know there's some dads out there that don't coach. I just be there for them. You know, I throw batting practice probably 3 days a week to both my kids. We go to the high school field, or we'll go to a grade school field, and I'll get behind the screen and throw BP until they're done hitting. And I'll hit them ground balls. I'll throw a long toss in the backyard. If they want to practice, I'm there for them. I don't ever ask them, hey, let's go practice. I want them to ask me. I'm not going to make them do anything, but if a split second they want to go shoot or they want to run or they want to go do anything, you know, if I got the time, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to force them, but I'm going to make myself available if they want to work on a game. And that's probably the best. That's how my dad was, and that's how, you know, I was lucky enough to have great coaches, and I think that's probably, you know, in my eyes, that's the most important thing.
Well, I know that it will be – it's a tremendous experience for them to have somebody of your skill level and your understanding of the game to help them. And I think that there are fathers out there who shy away from it, but there are a lot of fathers that can help their kids as well. And if it's just if you're not coaching – and your dad out there, then support the guys that are coaching because that's what's going to develop your kids. One last thing, Mike, and I want to thank you. When I was coaching at Jasper, one of my players, again, I got to play with the all-time leading scorer at Jasper in Mike Ballinger. One of my players would eventually eclipse your record, Michael Lewis. We had lost touch with you. You were living in a different state. We made a frantic search to get you back, and you were so genuine, so nice to come back and be there on the night that Michael Lewis eclipsed your scoring record and walk out there in front of almost a packed house and pass that ball along to him. And I want to thank you for that because that meant a lot that at the last moment you were able to scramble and come back to Jasper and be a part of that evening.
Well, it's always great to come back to Jasper. There's so many nice people there, and I was glad to be a part of it. I mean, that was the one and only time I ever saw Michael play in high school. I saw him play a lot in college, but I was so impressed with the time I saw him in high school. His talent level, his range on his jump shot, I mean, obviously you did a great job with him. I'm sure he brought some talents. He brought some unique talents with him when you first, you know, started coaching him, but of course you developed them, and, you know, I mean, the bottom line is Michael started for one of the best programs under one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball, and I don't know if there's anything else need to be said but that. And that's a pretty nice thing to put on your resume, and that's Michael deserves that because of his hard work. And I was just glad to be a part of the night.
Well, you certainly made that night a little more special. I've said it before, folks, and I will say it. Until my end of the earth comes, when it comes to basketball, I played with three of the five best players, played or coached three of the five best players at Jasper High School, in my opinion. Mike Ballinger, a classmate, great player, Indiana All-Star. Scott Rowland, Indiana All-Star, went on to become one of the great third basemen in Major League Baseball. And Michael Lewis, an Indiana All-Star, IU starter, and one of the top, when he graduated, one of the top, I think, 11 scorers career-wise in the state of Indiana. So, Mike, thank you for spending time with us, and thank you, really, for what you did for Jasper basketball and high school basketball in the state of Indiana.
Jay, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Joe, thanks a lot. I mean, I don't know how I can ever help in the future, but anytime you need me to come on, don't hesitate to call. I'm happy to do it.
All right, Mike, great stuff. We're going to go to a quick break when we're going to come back. I'm going to let this thing phase out. Joe, you're tough on me, buddy. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, Coach, I've exhausted my list of people. You can now breathe easy. Your secrets that weren't revealed by those people will now be secret until possibly next year at this time.
Oh, thank
you, man. A new list of people. So,
I mean, I was thinking about some of the people that you possibly could have come. Well, I'm glad you didn't know you could have. I'm thinking, boy, the stories Adam Offert might tell, the stories Todd Rowland or Jason Licklider might tell. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Joe, I really do appreciate you sabotaging me here. It was great to hear Mike Ballinger and talk to him a little bit. It's great to have John Mullen. Just wonderful words from John Mullen and some stories. Michael Lewis, of course, Travis, and Andy Igel. Joe, you absolutely surprised me.
Well, the one thing I really regret about today is I thought about this too late, and I was unable to get Jack Butcher on. I really wanted to get Jack Butcher on. I really did.
He had a few words for me during games sometimes.
I thought he'd have some stories, some very interesting stories, but I was unable to get that done. I want to thank Indianapolis correspondent Don Schulteis, What's Hot, What's Not Man, was feeding me phone numbers yesterday of people I didn't have to try to call. I actually tried to get with Farouk. I never was able to get with him, and sent Todd a text hoping that maybe we could get him or Scotty on. Unable to do that, but I'll tell you what. I like the idea. We'll just have a 2-hour-long session with Scott Rowland, Michael Lewis. I think that would be very interesting. I think that could be a top-rated show right there. I think there could be, you know, the way Michael said stories that could be revealed. I thought, you know, that's a show that's got to happen soon.
Some things, Joe, are better left unsaid. Hey, Liz, there'll be stories about your wonderful wife and volleyball coach, Liz Milligan, at some point as well, if there's not already stories.
She doesn't have a show, though, so she can't really, you know, she doesn't have to be somewhere. That's why yesterday, or when was it, last night or when you said I can only be on for an hour? I thought, I better call Janet this morning and let her know what's going on.
I'm actually, for our listeners, I'm actually spending the day. I'm out near Dale, Indiana, in southern part of the state where my uncle owns a couple hundred acres, and I'm at a lake with my older brother Rick and my son Scott, my youngest son Scott, doing some fishing. And so,
and how's Scott doing?
My plants, they brought in about 22 bluegill right now. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of fish and chips we have at the end of the day. Hey, before we end this show, let's run through this draft from last night, at least the Big Ten players, and get your comments, Joe. of course, the first Big Ten player went number 8, and it wasn't Noah Vonleh, who was picked to go higher than that, actually. It wasn't Gary Harris, who dropped quite a bit in the draft. It was Nick Stauskas of Michigan. He was the number 8 pick of Sacramento. I don't know if this is a good pick or not. They've got a couple other players that I think are similar to Stauskas. Can shoot. He can create shots. A Canadian-born player. Got a little size to him. We'll see what happens. The Indiana's entry into the draft, Noah Vonleh, went right behind him at number 9 to Charlotte. He will pair up in the front court with Cody Zeller, of course, in the 3 and 4 spots. He'll probably play some 5. Then Adrian Payne went number 15 to Atlanta. And Gary Harris, who is expected to be a top 10 draft choice, dropped all the way down and was picked up by Chicago. But I think that's part of a trade that will go to Denver. And then Oklahoma City picked up Mitch McGarry, a late entry into the draft from Michigan. Joe, your thoughts on these guys?
Well, it was kind of, you know, Stauskas, he wasn't expected to go that high. Harris was expected to go a lot higher than he got. You know, so it was kind of interesting. I thought maybe they'd have a little bit better vibe on what teams are thinking. I don't remember which player it was. I had to go pick Reese and Rafe up at Holiday World and Splashing Safari last night. And I was listening to the draft, and the one thing that one player, he was not a Big Ten player, said that kind of struck me was they asked him, when did you work out for this team? And he said, I haven't. I didn't. And he was kind of shocked that he was drafted by him. And I was like thinking, now you do all this homework and then you go with a guy that you've not worked out with and et cetera. And I think he was kind of shocked. I wish I could remember his name. He was kind of shocked that he had got picked by them. And you'd think they'd have a little bit better read on that, but I guess, you know, you just never know. I mean, there have been other times where people have sat in the little waiting room. I don't know. I think if I was a draft pick, I almost just stay home, not take the chance that maybe something didn't happen and I was sitting in that room, because, you know, they always show those guys so much. They're just sitting there and they're already, you know, anguishing enough. But then you've got the camera constantly on you, and here he sits, you know, and it's kind of foolish. But I did like, and his name escapes me, but what the NBA did for the center from Baylor was a very nice touch.
Oh, yeah. That was neat. That was really neat. I thought that Adam Silver in the NBA showed a wonderful side to him, and his name escapes me now. He played at Baylor. He was going to be a first-round draft pick for somebody. It was wonderful how they brought him out and made him a first-round draft choice of the NBA. He has Marfan syndrome. They caught it early. And his career, which has been a career that many thought had a great upside, it is now ended. He will never play competitive basketball again unless they come up with some way to treat that genetic problem that he has. You know, Joe, probably the best player for me, he is the best player, and I think that he still can be, but his surgery to a stress fracture in his back and foot situation, Joel Embiid, I think he would have been the number one choice by Cleveland had he not had to go through that surgery. He still ends up going to Philadelphia at number 3. I believe that he still potentially is the best player in the draft. I just don't think Cleveland, and it didn't surprise me, and I don't blame them, felt like with the Greg Oden, the Sam Bowie, situation that have happened, a couple others, that you take a chance on taking the guy number 1 when he's just went through a surgery and nobody knows if he's going to be able to fully recover 100%.
Yeah, it's quite a gamble that they took. And, you know, I don't know, when you're talking as millions of dollars as they are, I guess they know better than us.
I don't blame him for that. Of course, Cleveland took Andrew Wiggins. I think that's a good choice. He was the more athletic. Jabari Parker was probably the more polished, who went to Milwaukee. But when you get down into some of the Julius Randles and the Stauskas, they're great players. They're all great players, but can they transition to the NBA? And that's going to be the big deal, and that's going to be what happens. Joe, I'll tell you what, it's been a heck of a show, buddy. You sure surprised me, but I'm going to have to go fishing. I'm going to have to go fishing now.
Well, you go catch some fish, and, you know, I expect a few of those. One question, last question. Does Rick know how to fillet them? Because I don't trust you with a knife.
My brother Rick is a surgeon with the filleting knife. So not a problem, Joe. You don't have to worry.
Okay, well, you know, happy birthday. I hope, you know, we apologize for you if you were preparing for our fake guests. And also, I apologize to Mitch Stetter and Tom Dienhardt if you're listening. You might have been thinking,
well,
oh, my God, what?
I was preparing for them. I even told you that I wasn't sure what to deal with Mitch, because I know he's in transition in his career, and you just totally head-faked me, buddy. I got to say,
yeah,
thanks
a
lot.
And when you asked me where he was for sure, I know he's with the Kansas City organization, Royals, but I wasn't sure where, so I just said something, and then you questioned me. Nashville, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh, God, just don't worry about it. We will talk to Mitch, but not this week. But
right,
I want to also thank Donnie. I want to thank Donnie for helping set this up, too, with helping with the phone numbers. So, Coach,
and
you go catch some fish.
And he should have a good time in Florida. I'm going to catch fish. Thanks, everybody, for the birthday wishes. Joe's going to take you home.
Okay, people, high school sports is over, but there's plenty of Little League, minor, Pony League. Just go out and watch. Just go watch some youth play sports and have a good time. And for Coach K, I'm Joe, saying we'll see you maybe not next week. We might be doing a best of next week since it is the 4th of July, but we will be back on July 11th live. We'll see you in 2 weeks on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
See you next week.